Father, we thank you so much for being that baby child that came to earth to live among us, to be with us. And Lord, I pray as we look into your word this morning that not only by the songs that have been sung, but also by your word, we see something way different than the world has ever known before. That you definitely did something that no one is used to, no one was prepared for, and you did it for us. And pray that we get full impact of what that means and that we understand it completely, and that those who have not chosen you to be their Savior would see that you truly are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and you need to be believed and trusted to enter eternal life. We pray now for your blessings on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There are a lot of confusing things in the world, philosophies, beliefs. In fact, as I look into this sermon, the study that I want to look at, I want to share with you that Jesus, the Emmanuel. But as I look at it, you can't help but see that there are other beliefs, there are other thoughts. In fact, there are other gods with a small g. And these other gods were created by man to serve a certain purpose. The problem was is that man created these other gods in their own image. You know, that's an interesting part of what happens when something is created. It's always created with the image of the person who creates it. God created us. He created us in His image. Human beings created other gods, but they created them in their image. And so these gods, quote unquote, are mean, vengeful, arrogant, unpredictable. The afterlife is how good you are. You have to earn your place. In some of them, Elysium is the top heaven. And this was a place for heroes, for people who are really, really, really good. I mean, they were the best of the best. And then the Asphodel fields, they were for general occupancy. It's kind of like generic drugs today. You know, you just... If you're so-so, well, you went there. And, of course, then there's Tartarus. And that was the place of torment. But it's interesting when God created us that He created us with a morals, with a value, with a this knowledge of what was right. And even when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they still knew that they did wrong. They knew what was right. But that at that point, they had disobeyed God and sin entered the world. And so, we were left with a dilemma. God was not. He already saw everything that was going to happen, so He knew from the beginning of the world what Jesus would do. But Jesus called Emmanuel, God with us. And you break down the word and El is God and Emmanuel, or Manu, is actually with us. And so it's God with us. Well, why is that such a big deal? Because no other God was like that. Man created their gods, quote unquote, again, small g. He created them to be separate. Oh, they entered into the human world now and again to cause trouble. But they were basically separated, Mount Olympus, and they just watched things and did things to people to make them squirm and hurt. But Jesus, it says, Emmanuel, God with us. And even for the Jews, that was an odd thought. Really? God coming to be with us? Even though they had the prophecies, they still really couldn't grasp it. God would come down and be with us? Well, certainly He would come in glory and power and honor. He would be revered. But that's not how He came. Instead, Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, of all places. And He came from Nazareth. Oh my goodness. Could they pick any worse of a place? I want you to go to John chapter 1, 16, 15 in the Pew Bibles. John chapter 1. And look at what Nathanael had to say about Nazareth. John chapter 1, 16, 15 in the Pew Bibles, starting in verse 44. Now, Philip's already following Jesus, and Philip, verse 44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, he said this not to be mean but to identify him. Jesus of Nazareth. He was from Nazareth, and he was the son of Joseph. In other words, the Jews, normally they would say, Jesus ben Joseph. Ben meaning the son of. And so you hear that in Israel all the time, you know, Bill ben Robert. Or, you know, whatever your father's name is, you put Ben, and then that would identify you. There was no last names. And so Jesus of Nazareth, that's where he's from, and son of Joseph, Ben Joseph. In verse 46, Nathanael says this, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" And then Philip says, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming, and here's a true Israelite. Nothing false in him. Nazareth. Why did he say that? Nazareth. Nazareth was a small town. Some doubted that it even existed at all until finally an archaeologist discovered it. It was considered backwoods, in the sticks. And people were judged that lived there as ignorant people. We saw last week that Jesus was not a handsome bodybuilder, rugged kind of guy. In fact, on the screen, you know, Isaiah 53 tells us, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Now, I knew some people like that in school. People that weren't pretty. People that weren't handsome. People that we had a tendency to bully or make fun of. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you were one of those people that were bullied and made fun of. But here, Jesus would have been that guy. He would have been the one that people would have pushed around and said, get away, you know. If they picked teams for baseball, he would never be picked. Or even maybe be the last one picked. He was not anything special, except he was the Son of God. Jesus came to us, a normal person, born as a baby, not a prince, not a king, not rich. He came to live with us, to share with us the hope that was in Him being the Savior of the world. I want us to go to another scripture, 1785 in your pew Bibles, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 describes what happened when Jesus said, "I'll go." Verse 5 in the second chapter of Philippians starts out. It says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This Jesus, this Emmanuel, left the glory of heaven. Now I want you to think about that. If you were in the most comfortable place you'd ever been in, if you were in, say, the Bahamas, right now, enjoying the sun, sipping not on alcoholic drink, let's eliminate those and just have it like a nice coconut drink or a fruit punch or something like that on the beach with the sun out there, warm, so nice and warm. Not a care in the world. You don't have to go to work. There's no work. If work is done, it's gone. You're retired. You're finally just out there. You don't even have to go home anymore. And somebody says, "They really need you in Wisconsin, but it's 20 below. And there's 5 feet of snow." What would you do? They really need you there. Jesus in heaven had everything. He had created the entire universe. He had nothing to worry about. He just laying back, basically, sitting by the Father. And God said, "They really need you on earth." And Jesus said, "Yeah, I know." Because of the love that He had for us, He came. The most powerful thing that grasps us is that Jesus loved us so much that He left it all. He said, "They're worth it. They're worth it to go and live there with them and then die." It says, you know, and we just don't get it. It says in verse 8, "And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death." Do you know how hard that must have been for him? To be obedient to death. That's something that he would never have to experience. He was in heaven. He's God. He created everything. And then he's going to submit himself to something that's so despicable called death. Scripture in 1 Corinthians calls death an enemy. And he submits. And it says, not only that he became obedient to death, but it says, even death on a cross. How would you feel being accused of something you didn't do? And they put you on death row. And you sit there in death row for days, maybe a week, knowing, I didn't do it. And they said, tomorrow you die for your crimes. And you say, but I didn't do it. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, perfect, being the one who created us, and he submits. He said he didn't say a word when he died other than, Father, forgive them, and it is finished. Who would sign up for that? Well, you know, we memorized the scripture, John 3:16. It's up on the screen. And I think we get the full impact of this verse when it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That word, so loved, is a word that's not used normally for us. It's used by God many, many times because He loves us like no other can love. Unconditional, agape love. To dearly love someone. Not by looks or because of their actions, but just loves us. Accepts us. Because of that love, Jesus came to earth to live. And you know, we passed through it so quickly. 33 years. Oh, well, yeah. Year after year. Year after year. Jesus was born. He grew. Year after year. After year. Knowing His faith. Can you imagine being a 10-year-old and knowing you're going to die on a cross? Spending 3 years with the ones you would entrust, the key to eternal life. Now you can kind of understand a little bit about when Jesus would say, you of little faith, how long do I have to be with you? Can I really trust you to carry the truth of the gospel to the world? Will you? They did. And they would, most all of them, die as they shared the gospel. An interesting scripture I'd like us to go to in John chapter 15, when I clear up here. John chapter 15, 1643 in your pew Bibles. Starting in verse 9, 1643, starting verse 9, says, As the Father has loved me, and again, this love is agape love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." See, he calls us friends. We are now friends of God, friends of Jesus. A friend is an associate, one who's close, one who understands, who knows the other. In fact, I read in one commentary that a friend was one that the bridegroom would entrust his betrothed into that man's care to take care of her and protect her. Isn't that interesting? The church being the bride of Christ. And he calls us friends, entrusting his church in our hands to take care of her until he comes to receive her to himself. Christmas is fast approaching. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a way to look good to somebody that, "Oh yeah, I know Jesus. He's my buddy. I'm his friend." Is it a get out of hell card for you? Or is it a relationship? Is he truly a friend of yours? Are you a friend of his? This is going to be up on the screen, the very last screen, and you can read it again. I want to read it now. "He was born in an obscure village, worked as a carpenter in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He then became an itinerant preacher, never held an office, never had a family or owned a house, didn't go to college. He had no credentials but himself. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he's still the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the nations ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Jesus Christ." I'd like us to close in prayer, and I'd like you to think about it. Where has he fit in your life? And if you haven't received him as your Savior, then pray with me as well. Father, as we bow before you, realizing that Jesus was sent here to live a life that must have been horribly uncomfortable, and yet he did it because he loved us. He cared so much about us. You care so much about us that you want us to be with you. You were with us. Now you want us to be with you for eternity. We can't understand that completely. Why? But you do. I pray if there's somebody that has not accepted you as Savior, that they would just pray the simple prayer. "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry that I have not lived a right life, that I have fought against you and made a mess of my life. But now, Lord, I want to turn it over to you. Take my life. Let it be part of your life. I want to live for you with purpose, no longer for myself, but only for you. Lord, thank you so much for filling me with your Spirit. I believe in you and I trust you. Thank you."
And Lord, as we close this time, I pray that as we sing this final song and we understand fully that Christmas is a time that we celebrate your coming to earth to live with us, to be with us, Emmanuel. Lord, how amazing it is to serve and to live for a God who is not some distant, vengeful God, but a God who loves us and cares about us, who is willing to die for us as well. Lord, I pray that you make this last song a great worship song to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this final song.